they'll just be kind of commonplace and very, very non-impressive when you get to heaven. It'll be stuff that you'll say, well, gold, yeah, we got plenty of that. Jewels, yeah, we got plenty of those. All that stuff,
why, it don't be a nothing. But I'll tell you this, when you see Jesus, you'll know that's the most precious thing that you've ever seen in your life. Amen? So we're thankful for that tonight. Proud for every one of you that's here. Glad we're in this house and in a safe place. Amen? I mean, aren't you glad that? This is one of those places of safety that the Lord blesses us with. Amen. And we're glad Sister Barbara and Sister Sharon made it on in here rather safely. Amen. You pray for all of you as you travel and as you go. It can be a little iffy out there tonight. All right? Let's take our Bibles, if you would, please. Look with me in the book of Mark. We're going to look in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look in chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. Something real familiar to all of us, I'm sure. Mark, and, you know, we went through that entire book. It took us a little while, but we got through there. And the Gospel of Mark, and most of this we know, okay? We know the story and the things that have led up to it, all of this. But we're going to look at this again. If you will, just read with me just a little bit, and let's see what the story is, what the ongoing and the idea is. Look in verse number 1. It said, "And they came." Now this is talking about Jesus and his disciples. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he had not sent him away out of the country. And now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and giving us this time here tonight. Thank you for all of your blessings, all that you've done, all that you continue to do. I pray we'd look to you now, and I pray we'd lift up that name that's above every name, and that we'd give you praise and honor and glory for everything that you're doing. I pray again, save the lost, speak to our hearts, to just move on somebody's soul here tonight. Show them their need in Christ, and if they're here and lost, show them their need of Christ, and we'll just give you praise and worship for everything that you're doing. We love you again, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to look at this and just ask you a question. You're going to put a title to this. What kind of day are you having? What kind of day are you having? And I think as we look at this, you know, people ask you that all the time, right? I mean, I hope somebody does. I know maybe a lot of you, you ladies, your husband will come home from work. Well, honey, what kind of day did you have? Or maybe you men come home and your wife's been working or doing whatever. Well, what kind of day did you have? You know, we like to find out those little kind of things. And I just thought we could could you imagine this guy? I mean, here is this guy that has been possessed by a legion of demons in his life, and now here is maybe the Bible tells us, you know, that the Lord gets him out, and when this man asked a little bit on further down, it says verse number 18, and when he was come nigh unto the ship, talking about Jesus getting ready to leave, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now, could you imagine? Jesus told this fellow, go home. Imagine when he went home and he walks in the door, his wife might have looked at him and said, man, things have changed since the last time I saw you. Now, we don't know the entirety of this story, but something's happened to this guy that had, there had been something going on previously, but now something's happened. And she might ask him and said, well, you know, what kind of day have you had today? Could you imagine the little boy that went home, that had been out there with Jesus when he fed the 5,000, and his mama might have asked him, son, what kind of day did anything special happen with you? Mama, you ain't going to believe it. I gave my lunch to the Lord, and he fed 5,000 people with it. Amen? Well, wouldn't that be something? I mean, to think about that. I mean, how about that blind man that Jesus found by the roadside? And he'd been out there begging and pleading and asking somebody just for a little something to put in his little plate or his little cup and give him just a little money to help his family. He got home and his wife said, hey, what kind of day did you have? He said, whoa, you ain't going to believe it. Jesus found me on the roadside. He put something on my eyes. He touched me. And I can say, praise God, I don't have to be a beggar anymore. See, I'm just telling you, every time Jesus came by, he made a difference in somebody's day. He made a difference, and I hope that he's made a difference in your day somewhere along the line. I hope he's saved you and brought you out of some horrible places and brought you to a place where, I mean, it's glory and it's beauty and it's you know, salvation for every one of us in this building, I'm praying. Amen? But let's just look at this guy and let's ask that question. What kind of day you had? What kind of day have you had? Well, first of all, let me just tell you this. This fella had a devil of a time in the morning. Amen? Would you agree with that? He had a devil of a time in the morning. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, the Bible says that Jesus, and if you look at this chapter 5, and if you'll look at chapter number 4, at the end of chapter number 4, Jesus is with his disciples, and after he has fed the 5,000, right? He's fed all these people, and he tells his disciples, let's get in the ship, and we're going over to the other side. Now, we know that story. Jesus, there in chapter number 4 of the book of Mark, and in verse number 35, at the same day, when the even was come, this is in the evening, he said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And you know, in that time when he passes from that area on one side over to the land of the Gadarenes on the Sea of Galilee, as they pass over, they run into a storm and bad things happen. And Jesus has to get up out of the ship and come to their rescue, steal the water, and get them safely over to the other side. As a matter of fact, that's what you see in verse number 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Now, just in thinking about that and listening to that, and just from some of the other things that were given as far as, I'd say, clues in the text, I believe it's about daybreak. I believe they've been fighting the storm all night long, and finally, when Jesus gets up and steals everything, there's a perfect calm, and they're able to make their way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as I say, I believe about that time, it's breaking day. I believe the daylight. Because if you'll notice in our text where we read, it says that when Jesus, it said immediately, verse number 2, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man of the tombs with an unclean spirit. Amen? I mean, this fellow, well, in verse number 6 it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, there had to be a little daylight for him to see that the Lord Jesus was coming. I mean, if you just follow that logic, the Bible said they left in the evening, that crowd that he fed with the 5,000. He left in the evening, got on the ship, and they crossed the sea, and now he's at the country of the gathering. So I believe the day is breaking, or the daylight is there to show them, hey, you know, it's the dawn of another day. And this man sees him and comes running toward him. Now, none of this is taking Jesus by surprise, right? Because the Lord's able to do anything. Matter of fact, look at these chapters. Chapter 4, in the very end there, Jesus calms a storm, right? Isn't that what happens at the end of chapter number 4? Verse 35 through the end of the chapter, Jesus calms a storm. Can I show you that Jesus is the master over many things? First of all, Jesus is the master on the depths of the roaring sea. Amen? Jesus is the master over all that. But now Jesus comes into the country of the Gadarenes, and he becomes the master over the demon-possessed person. And then if you go on a little bit further, you'll see that the Bible tells us that there's a man named Jairus that calls him and wants him to come touch his daughter because she's sick. But on his way there, there's a woman that has an issue of blood, and Jesus heals her of that. Jesus has power over disease. And then last of all, you remember while all that's going on, some of them come and say, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus says, wait a minute. I've been the master over the deep. I've been the master over the demons. I've been the master over disease. And I am the master over death. Amen? Aren't you glad you know Jesus like that? Well, we're looking at him here as he's the master over this situation of this demon-possessed man. And I'm telling you, this fellow's having a devil of a time in the morning. I mean, you just read this with me. I want you to notice the binding of this man, if you will. It says, when verse number 2, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Well, I want you to just look at who this guy was and the binding that was upon him. He was bound. It was more than physical binding. I mean, when Jesus saw this guy, now you got to realize this, he was, in some of the other accounts of this, and Matthew and Mark and Luke tell us this story, that all three of them, we say the synoptic gospels, tell us this story. And from those stories, we understand this fella, we call him the nude, lewd, crude dude. Amen? That's who he was. I mean, he wore no clothes. He was crazy. They couldn't strap him down. They couldn't chain him down. They couldn't tie him up. He was just an absolute crazy man. And he's running through the graveyard. He's howling at the moon. He's picking up rocks and cutting himself, and he's pulling his hair, and he's got wild eyes, and he's terrorizing everybody coming. I mean, he's just crazy. That's what we'd say in our day. But Jesus said that he was full of the devil. Amen? He's full of the devil. Y'all know any people like that? Some of you know some you think there are. Amen. Right? But I mean, there are people today that are absolutely demon-possessed. And I don't think, you watch the news sometimes, and me and Lynn sit there and watch, she'll look at me and she'll say, that one right there is full of the devil. I mean, some of the things they describe and what they do and maybe even a little bit of how they do, they're filled with the Satan that can influence and do some crazy stuff in people's lives. Amen? Well, they got a mental disease. Can I tell you, Jesus didn't throw mental disease out of this man. He threw the devils out of him. Amen? I'm just telling you. It may make you act in a certain way. And it may cause some certain signs like we see what we think. But I'm telling you, it is devil possession. And it's true in your Bible. Amen? Demon possession. This fella, I mean, you notice the way that he is bound. He has tried to be bound by human people, but they were unable. But he's bound up with the devil in his life. And I'm telling you, as you go on, and you see this story, you see that it isn't just one little devil in there, one little demon acting up. Jesus asked him his name. He said, "What's your name?" He said, "Legion, for we are many." Now, a Roman legion was a term, and it's a term that is used here in verse number 9 when Jesus says, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion, for we." He didn't say, "I'm just one evil, wicked spirit." There's a bunch of us in here. And I don't know how that happened. I have no idea. I'm just telling you it did, and it still can, and it still does happen today. Don't you ever get into a foreign country sometime and not keep your guard up, because there's some crazy, crazy, crazy demon-possessed folks outside. And they're inside this border of the United States, too. But I'm telling you, it seems like sometimes you get in foreign country, there's more demonic influence outside there, outside of this place, than there is that we know. Sometimes we live in our own little protected, our own little, you know, secured and sheltered world. We're here. But I'm telling you, the devil is raging full time as much as he can. Amen? So, this fella is just, he is filled with the devil. A legion in that day, the term, and it kind of varies, is somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 Roman soldiers constituted a legion. That was a term that the Jewish people were so familiar with because they were under the Roman rule and the military there. They knew what a legion was. Could you imagine a person being so tied up? But if you look at this guy, and you see the things he was doing and how he was acting, you know there was something strongly influencing the way that he's acting. So you see the binding, and I mean the way this man is bound. He is bound in sin by Satan. But I want you to notice this. When Jesus shows up, something unusual happened. You see what it says in verse number 6? But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, the idea behind worshiping in this instance is that he fell down before him. You know why? Because he knew who Jesus was. The devil knows who Jesus is. He didn't do that with any man that tried to bind him. He didn't do it with any group of people that tried to help him. He didn't worry. But when he saw the Son of God, he fell down and worshiped before him because he knew whose presence he was in. Amen? You see how this fellow is bound. But second of all, I want you to notice the begging that these demons in this man produce. Notice what it says. It says, verse number 6, when he saw Jesus cross, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice, listen to this, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." That's a joke, isn't it? Here he is begging for Jesus. What does he say? "Don't torment me." What do you think he's been doing to this guy? What do you think all them devils have been doing? They've been tormenting him. And the Bible said they've been doing it day and night and on and on and on with no relief, no let up, no mercy, no help, no nothing for this guy. And now they're saying, "Don't torment us." Amen. Aren't you glad the Son of God knows a whole lot better than that? Those demons know what their final end is all about. They know they're going to a place that's meant for the devil and his crowd. God's going to throw it into the lake of everlasting fire. Thank God they got a home and they don't want to go there. Right now they're enjoying what's going on. And now they're saying, well, don't torment us. Can you imagine that? I mean, the demons of hell begging the Son of God, don't torment us. We're fine tormenting this guy, but don't you... Don't. Listen to what they say. They cry with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Now, when they ask that question, what do we have... In other words, what have we done to you? What have we... Why are you here bothering us? Well, this is our business, and you've got your business, but your business and our business don't go together. And Jesus is having none of that. Amen? Because he sees this man as a precious soul that needs some help in his life. And I know we see stuff, like I say, you turn on the TV, you look at the news, you see some of the crazy things that are going on in our schools and in our communities and in people's homes. And I'm talking about in Walker County. I'm not talking about Los Angeles or New York City or something. You see what's going on right here at home. The devil is having a heyday. Amen? And as you see that, hey, that devil's wanting to, well, I just want to have my leeway, do what I want to do and do how, and take over. Isn't that amazing? They say, we adjure thee by God. That phrase, to adjure, means to put or bind under an oath. In other words, they're saying, just we're making an oath toward... They ain't got no oath to stand on. Amen? They have no way, no reason, no power to incite or give any kind of a pledge or an oath to the Son of God. And just notice, Jesus does not react. Jesus does not. He doesn't have any kind of sympathy or pity for this bunch of devils. He's looking at the man that is there, that is possessed. So you see this man and his binding. You see this group of demons and they're begging. But last of all, don't you notice that you see the bargaining that this group of devils does? It says... And Jesus asked, he said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And in verse number 9, he asked him, what's thy name? They answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we're many. Look at verse number 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. You know what this is? This is let's make a deal, demon edition. Amen? I mean, here's a bunch of devils trying to say, well, let's make a deal. Yeah, don't do it. You know, they're asking the Son of God to cut them a little deal. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the way you find criminals today? Well, you know, let's work out some kind of plea bargain. Let's work out some kind of deal. Let's work something out. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad the Son of God still has full control. Amen? And listen, it says now, they besought him much. They're begging and pleading for this little deal. Now, this fellow's having a devil of a time in the morning, isn't he? I mean, his life is in destruct mode from all the things that the devil has done to him. Can I tell you, the devil is still tearing this world apart. And can I give you a little clue? It ain't getting any better. Amen. It's only getting worse as we see time roll on. I want you to see a second thing. Not only this fellow had a devil of time, nor I want to give you this glorious news that he winds up having a heavenly afternoon. Amen. His morning was pretty bad. But look what happens by the time I feel like the afternoon rolls around. It says in verse number 1, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, for there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Amen? Somebody said they committed suicide. Amen? Hey, I don't know about that, but they somebody else said they took a swine dive right off into the water, right? But I'm telling you, hey, the hogs had more sense than people. Can I tell you? The hogs didn't, they didn't want to be deviled ham. They wasn't having nothing to do with that crowd of the devils jumping in amongst them. They had more sense. They ran off and they'd rather die than have the devil in. And people ain't got no better sense. They'll just make a big home for the devil in their lives. Amen? Hey, but the devil has gone out of this guy. And it tells us that there were some people there that were the people that kept the swine, they that fed the swine. And it said, and they told it in the city. They fled from the scene. They told in the city and in the country. And everybody went out to see what it was that was done. And look, in verse number 15, and they come to Jesus. And they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? I tell you, it shook everybody else up. But I want to tell you, this guy was having a heavenly afternoon. He'd had a devil of a time in the morning, but now things have changed in his life. Amen. Aren't you glad when Jesus comes by and speaks the words of life? Hey, there can be a great change in every one of our lives. That's the way you got saved. I mean, you was having a hard time, a rough life. I mean, you had the misery of sin and the power of Satan in you. Thank God Jesus came by and He broke those chains. He set you free and got you right with God. Amen. And look what happened to this guy. There's three things that you see here that the writer, that Mark says, that happened to him. First of all, in this heavenly afternoon, and you see these. First of all, you see that this fella has gotten robed. Do you see that? It said, when they come to see Jesus, they see him have the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Can you see that? He is, first of all, he's sitting, but you notice it said he's clothed. He's got on the right kind of robing at this point. He'd been naked before. He'd been out here terrorizing. I mean, he was just a teetotal mess. But now, can I tell you, when you find Jesus, He'll tell you how to get your clothes on. Somebody say amen right there. And I believe there's a bunch of them out here today that needs to hear that story. Amen? Hey, about half of them down at Walmart. Somebody said amen right there. I'm just telling you, it's crazy the way people are in public nowadays. I mean, the way they dress and the way they act. And, you know, sometimes you just might have to question and say, have they gotten themselves filled up with the devil? I mean, just look at it. But the Bible said when this man got his change, he was robed. But not only that, don't you know he came to a place of rest. The Bible says he was sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen? He found that there was a place there for him to rest. Thank God for that. I'm telling you, when you come to the Lord, when you come to know the Lord, you find that you're at a place where your mind is right, your mind is calm, and thank God, you're at a place where you just sit at Jesus' feet and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen? You remember the story of Martha and Mary, the two sisters, and where they're having a event there at their house for Jesus. And Martha, Jesus says, you're cumbered about with much service. I mean, she's running around trying to make sure of that. And there's times for service. There's time, but he said, I want to tell you, he said, Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what she's doing? She's sitting at Jesus' feet and she heard His words. Can you imagine this crazed man that had had the sounds of the devil in his mind and the thoughts that, I mean, he cut himself. He tried to harm himself. He tried to harm others. He might even try to commit suicide. He broke the bands and the chains and all that they tried to him. And now he's in a calm position sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen? That's what coming to the Lord will do for you. It'll give you a rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God there's rest for the weary in Jesus. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Thank God I'm glad we can find our rest, our repose, our relaxation. Every bit of that is found in Jesus Christ. Oh, the Bible tells us over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 4, that they that wait upon the Lord. I mean, you just need to sit down sometime, just wait and relax and rest and get in the presence of Jesus and thank God He'll renew your strength. Amen. And you'll be able to mount up with the wings of an eagle. Thank God you'll be able to fly, fly, fly. Amen. Hey, here's this fella. And when they come back, they see him sitting at Jesus' feet. They see him clothed. And what you see, they found him robed. They found him resting. And don't you notice it says that they found him in his right mind. Isn't that what it says? He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. You see this fella as he is sitting here resting and he's robed. And now he's a rational human being. His mind is back. Do you know we got so many people in this world, their minds are warped, and many minds are warped because of Satan. I mean, the devil has warped people's minds. I mean, can you think of all the kind of perverted stuff that goes on in our day? You know what that is? That's the warping of the mind by the devil. The devil warps people's mind to say, well, I think two women ought to be together and two men ought to. That's warped up, son. That's not God's original. God made man and woman in the beginning. Somebody said he made Adam and Eve, he didn't make Adam and Steve. Say amen right there. I'm just telling you, that's been God's plan all along. You know what the devil said? Well, let's pervert that. Let's mess that up. Let's get people's minds over it. And we've got people so messed up today. I mean, they're just foul, but they don't know what in the world they are. Some of them think they're kitty cats, puppy dogs. I mean, a little bit of everything. Amen? Oh, well, today I feel like a woman. Today I feel like a man. Tomorrow I might feel like a trash can. I don't know what in the world I'm going to feel. But, you know, that's what I'm going to be. That's the world we're in. Let me tell you, that comes from perversion by the devil himself. Amen? I mean, he's just got people just messed up in their mind. Amen? You know, and you're watching this stuff, and there are people that are supposed to be parents of children, and they say, well, my little one thinks that they're a girl and they're doing this and they want to be blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. Can y'all remember when you was growing up? I remember there was such a thing as tomboys. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, there's some girl. I know there's a girl. But Steve, we went to school with over at Fairview. Man, I scared her. Huh? I mean, she'd kill me. We went out and played at recess, and she'd bow up, and I'm like, we ain't messing with her. I'm walking out from it. Hallelujah. She'd kill us all. I mean, she's rough. Years later, one of my brother-in-laws was working here in Chattanooga, and he said, do you know a girl named blah, 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 blah? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I work with her. I said, son, you better watch her. I said, she's crazy. He said, I think she's calmed down. She's been married and had kids and all that. Whew, boy, I'm glad to hear that. Amen. Now, let me just tell you, there's some folks, you better clear out the way, amen? Because, I mean, their minds can get all worked. But as I say, there were such things as tomboys, right? They'd climb trees and wrestle and whoop boys and throw rocks and everything else that we did. But, you know, you don't really probably ever hear too much of that anymore. We've got all of this trans stuff, amen? And I'm telling you, it's so messed up. And I want to tell you, that I know this for a fact. This is one of my, and probably both of my sons have a friend, but one of them more than the other. They had a friend that had changed his name and wants to be a woman. Okay? Now, that's weird enough for me right there. Okay? Because I knew him back when he had his boy name, and now he's wanting to be called this other name. And so I was asking my son, I said, you know, what in the world? He said, well, let me tell you. He said, this is where this is going. He wants to be a woman so he can be a lesbian and date women. I said, why in the world don't he eliminate the middleman there and just be like the rest of them, be a man and date women? And I'm serious as a heart attack. That's what he says. That's just screwed up. I can't even understand it. That don't make a lick of sense, does it? Why don't you just be what you was? You date women and be all right. You wouldn't even have to be a lesbian. I mean, that's crazy. But that's how messed up our world is today. And I'm telling you, that's the perversion that the devil's put in people's minds. He's got them so mixed up, they don't know. People don't know up from down. I remember, you know, people talk about that, about their little kids. Oh, they think they're this, they're that. We went to a birthday party when one of my kids was 6 or 7 years old, and one of my nephews, we was at McDonald's. And the little lady there running the birthday party said, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And one of my little nephews looked up and said, "I want to be a tractor." And I'm like, "A tractor? Run, run, run." That's what he wanted to be. It was a tractor. Well, I don't think there's no surgery for that. Amen? But you know what? His mom and daddy left him alone. He grew up to be a boy. Hallelujah about that. Amen. I'm just saying, man, this thing is all messed up. And the devil has taken people into their minds and into these situations. And he has brought that. And aren't you glad when you get around Jesus? And the Lord comes in. He can give you rest. He can robe you in the clothes of righteousness. And He can give you the rational mind that you ought to have to understand what things really are and how things really work. Amen? I'm thankful for that. All right? So here's this guy. He's had a devil of a morning, but thank God he's had a heavenly afternoon. But I'm going to tell you, let's look at his evening and see how that's going to go. I believe we could say this fella is going to have a great evening. A great evening. Look, if you will, and notice what happens. Now, all of this has happened, and it says in verse 16, "And they that saw it," all of those that saw what happened with the man and the pigs and all that, they told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. I don't understand that. But for some reason, it shook them up enough. They didn't want Jesus around straightening up things. They wanted that guy to stay under the bondage of all of those demons. They wanted things back like it was. And there's people like that. Well, that religion stuff, y'all don't know. You're just messing people up. No, that's what straightening people out is, the Lord. Amen. But anyway, it says, and they began, verse 17, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They're begging Jesus to leave. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That fellow said, if you're leaving, please don't leave me here with this crowd. I want to go with you. And look what Jesus tells him. Verse number 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen? Isn't that a great... He had a great evening. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, first of all, I mean, he wanted to get out of there. His preference was to depart with the Lord. But can I tell you, the Lord said, no, I want you as your post of duty to dwell here and to tell them what great things. Can I tell you, the Lord had done some great things for him. Wouldn't you declare that God had done some great things for this man? Aren't you glad God's done some great things for everyone? If you're saved here tonight, he's done some great things for you. He saved your soul from hell. He's written your name down in the courts above. He's given you life eternal. He's changed you from that old creature you used to be. He's made you something brand new. Amen. He's done some great things, I think. Done some great things for me. Done some great things for you. He's wanting to do great things for others. Thank God we all just say, the Lord has done great things. Amen. Jesus said, I need for you to go tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. His post of duty was to dwell there among his own people. I mean, listen, Jesus understood that this man said, I got to get out of here. But the Lord said, nope, I need you to stay here. Need for you to dwell, and this is going to be your post of duty. And you need to tell him. Well, listen what it says he did. He took the Lord up on it, didn't he? He got his commission from heaven, from the Lord himself. It said, and he departed, verse number 20, and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Decapolis is a term that is used. Deca, D-E-C-A, Deca, the first part of that, means 10. Right? Deca. We talk about the Decalogue, that's the commandments, the 10 commandments. The word Deca, used in, you know, the mathematics and all that, that term means 10. It's a multiple of anything of 10 when you talk about a Deca or whatever. And there's 10 cities. You know, and up in Minnesota, they have the twin cities, you know. Minneapolis and St. Paul, they call them the twin cities. That's two cities. Over here in Tennessee, they have the Tri-Cities area. You got those three cities there where Virginia and Tennessee kind of collide. And there's three big cities there, and you know that they've got the tri-state. And here, you know, we talk about the tri-state area where you're in Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee. We got tri-state, meaning three. Well, this fella had 10 cities. And you know what? That word polis, P-O-L-I-S, it means city. So there was 10 cities, and he went preaching and telling what Jesus had done for him in all 10 cities. And when people saw him, you know what? They said, hey, that's that guy that used to run in the tombs. That's that guy we heard. That's that guy that had lost his mind. Look at him now. And he's telling them what great things the Lord has done for him. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, he's having a great evening. He took off from that point, and his heart was filled with the joy of his salvation, the good news of the gospel, and he went out and spread far and wide what great things the Lord had done for him. And you know what? It made everybody go, wow. They were just amazed. At what God, aren't you amazed sometimes at what God does for some people? When He works in their lives and changes them. I've seen people shake their head and they say, man, is that really so-and-so it used to be? And I remember when they were rough and sinful and vulgar and crude and all that stuff. They remembered that. But now the Lord's come by and made a difference. Amen. Aren't you glad that we had a fella out there with us on Sand Mountain? And I didn't know him. But he got saved by the grace of God. One of the fellas in our church knew him pretty well and witnessed to him. And he finally got saved. And he started coming to church there. And like I said, I didn't know anything, but all I knew is he came to church and there he was. And, you know, he got in church, go to revivals, and he'd show up at church and he'd get in the meeting, he'd sing, he'd pray, he'd do everything everybody else did, and God saved him. And I'd have people come up to me. We'd go out maybe visiting or go somewhere. And they'd say, so-and-so, go to your church? I said, yeah. You go down there to church? Wow. I didn't ever think I'd ever see him in church. All I ever seen him was with a liquor bottle and gambling and running around and doing all that. I said, well, the Lord can change anybody, can't he? Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord can bring those kind of changes into men's lives? Because you know what? Oh, I'm glad to tell you, as the songwriter said, I'm so glad God saves old sinners. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He'd save an old sinner like me. Amen? Boy, Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song tonight, if you would. Maybe you're here tonight. I don't know if you know someone that's got filled up with the devil or you've got maybe those things going on in your family or your neighborhood or your workplace, whatever it may be. Let me just tell you.